All right, as we come to the midpoint of our series on the five solas of the Reformation, we've covered sola scriptura and sola gratia, by scripture alone and by grace alone. We've seen how the Word of God is our authority for doctrine and practice, for solving disputes, and not by a series of verses removed from their context, but rather just the opposite. The church, as we have said, is founded upon the Word of God. Roman Catholicism, otherwise, as we've seen, teaches that the church gave the Word the Bible. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. It is the Bible that gives us the church. We do not worship the Bible, but the God revealed to us on its pages, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it serves as our authority on matters of faith and practice, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. While Catholicism teaches that it is tradition, scripture, and the living magisterium that is their church authority, that the Pope has the same authority as the Word of God. Well, let's just hear a few things that the Pope has had to say recently. Now, this past Friday morning on Twitter, he wrote, "In this centenary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, we thank God for the countless blessings we have received under her protections." Now, according to that, there was a time that they seemed to have seen a group of people saw the sun spinning in the sky. And some had seen this apparition of this particular woman. And at one point she was sainted by the church. I think if you see the sun spinning in the sky, you should not have been staring at it directly in the first place. And it may have something to do with what you had wrapped in your cigarette paper. But he says, "We thank God for the countless blessings we have received under her protections." That is, as a Roman Catholic, you would pray to Our Lady of Fatima for protection or for help. Again, praying to the saints is not something you find in the Scripture. 3 hours earlier, he had written this: "The statue of Our Lady of Aparecida was found by poor workers. May Mary bless us all, but especially those who seek employment." So there's a prayer from the Pope to the Virgin Mary. This is the church leader. This is what they do. On the 7th of October, this is what he wrote. He wrote, "The rosary," you know, the series of beads that Roman Catholics have that they sometimes have around their neck or hold in their hands. "The rosary is a synthesis of the mysteries of Christ. We contemplate them with Mary, who allows us to see with her eyes of faith and love. We contemplate these things with Mary, the Blessed Virgin, who allows us to see with her eyes of faith and love." See, I don't mean to be mean-spirited. I'm not mean-spirited towards anybody, but this is common. This is what the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church teaches, and this is he's right in line with what other popes have taught before. And we see that none of this comes out of the Word of God. The veneration of Mary, the using of rosary beads or anything like that does not come out of it. So I say to Pope Francis, thanks, Frank, but no thanks. You see, however, being clear that none of these statements he has made has any grounding in the Word of God. And so when you leave the Word of God, you can say and do just about anything. Then we covered sola gratia, by grace alone. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that grace is something that you cooperate with and even receive as you try harder and try to do better. In essence, As far as the definition of grace, if you do good, you get good. But that's not grace. That's a reward. That's a payment. It's a wage. Grace, as we have seen, is God's unmerited, unearned favor to us on account of the merit of Jesus Christ. In salvation, grace comes to us. While we were dead in our sins and trespasses, a more helpless, uncooperative state would be very hard to find. If it's all about cooperation with God, then in the end we have a claim to boast and to glory, at least in some degree. Now our subject today is by faith alone. And it is the cry of the Reformation, as we've seen, justification by faith alone. Justification means being declared righteous by God. Being declared righteous by God. In a right standing before Him, it's a result of His work. Remember Romans 8 verse 30 tells us, whom He did predestinate, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified. The biggest problem exists, at least in so much as what is called Christianity today, is a failure to understand the separation between justification and sanctification. Sanctification occurs after justification. It is our growth in grace and godliness, bringing us to a conformity to the image of Christ. And this is the problem not just with Roman Catholicism, but many of the moralists in Protestantism. They teach you have to make the first move. You can always tell a moralist when they start talking about the order of salvation. The moralist will always put repentance before faith. When you repent, faith comes to you, according to what they would teach. But I would suggest that is tremendously off the mark. For why would you repent to a God whom you don't believe? Faith must precede repentance, or else there's no reason for you to repent. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is by grace we diligently seek. It is by faith we believe who He is. I want you to listen for a moment to some common responses. These were recorded by the folks at the White Horse Inn. People on the street, and some from a religious convention, people on the street ask, what must I do to be saved? One person answers, I guess believe God and do what is right. Another, what must I do to be saved? Well, it's learning to live more like Jesus did. All right. What if you don't live like Jesus did? Well, I guess you'll end up going to hell. What must I do to be saved? Well, I guess accept God and do what is right. What must I do to be saved? Going to church and frequent confessions. Keeping up with your belief and your religion. What must I do to be saved? What is the gospel? This person answers, the gospel is a message that can be personal to any person. Not something really tangible. Something you have to find within yourself by whichever means. What is justification? The answer. Justification is your actions. Justifying your actions. The ability to choose right from wrong. And in your own mind and in your own heart, you've got to be justified that you're doing the right thing. What is justification? Well, it means he's happy with us when we acknowledge him and we just give it a try. These are some common answers that are commonly given, and it's quite scary. And if you notice, if you're listening, every single one of those answers has nothing to do with any work of God. Every one of those answers has something the person is saying, this is what I do. This is what I need to do. This is what I must do. None of it has anything to do with a scriptural understanding. And that, some of them to think that they are regular church members and attenders, it's quite scary. Justification answers the question that was asked by one of the reformers, how shall we answer the heavenly judge when he calls us to account? Let us contemplate him not as our own unaided intellect conceives him, but as he is portrayed to us in Scripture, with a brightness that obscures the stars, a strength which melts the mountains, an anger which shakes the earth, a wisdom that takes the wise in their own craftiness, a purity before which all things become impure, a righteousness to which not even angels are equal. That is the judge which we are standing before. See, as someone once put it too, the gospel is not about something we do, not about a commitment we make, not about our level of dedication or changing directions. It is believing that Christ's death forgives me of all my sin and that Christ's life of perfect obedience is mine through faith. And now, because of that, I am to live a life of gratitude. It's not in order to get something. It's not because I'm afraid if I don't do this or I don't do that, but because of what Christ has already done for me. That's the key to understanding. It is the faith that receives and rests on Christ and His righteousness. And so therefore we turn to Romans chapter 5 in verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1 we read, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, faith alone in Christ alone, the strongest correlative word to faith would be trust. But it's not blind trust. It's based on knowledge. It's entirely also a gift from God. As Paul would write, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is a gift of God through the Spirit of God. It's not an awakening or exciting of something we already have resident in us. We read in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. It is faith that unites someone to Christ. That faith has an object to it, and that person and work of Jesus Christ is the object of faith. Poor sinners who are brought to see their lost and undone condition before God. The mighty storm of God's wrath that lurks overhead. You know, it's funny how some don't even want to mention that kind of idea anymore. That there can be a wrath of God? Where do you get that? Well, here. It tells us a lot about the wrath of God here. But we don't seem to mention it much. Now, many have felt like it's something to hide or excuse. How many church signboards do you ever say or have anything written about the wrath of God on them? And there's always this desire to seem, even in the church, to somehow change God. When the truth is, it's man that needs to change, and it's not God who needs to change. The awakened sinner seeks refuge from the wrath of God, and there's only one hiding place, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something. It's going to sound maybe a little confusing at first, but I hope you'll stay with me. We are saying and talking about justification by faith. But to be clear, it is not faith that justifies us. It is God who justifies. Faith is not the substance of justification. The substance of justification is the righteousness of Christ. Here's how we are justified by faith. We are justified by faith in and as far as that faith relates to and has no object other than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We are justified by faith as that faith relates to and has no other object to it than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That's why we repeat over and over again, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Note what was written in Romans 3 in verse 26. Speaking of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, the righteousness of God, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. And verse 20 tells us, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin is remitted through the blood of Christ. Jesus had to pay a penalty for our sins. In this way, God could be just because sin must be punished. A just and holy God who has perfect justice, that justice has to be satisfied. And so Christ satisfies the justice that God's holiness requires. And by that, God can now be just in that a penalty has been paid, but also the justifier of sinners. Every Old Testament sacrifice would be absolutely useless and meaningless if God did not require satisfaction for His justice. Because there are some people who say, well, He's God. God can do anything He wants. So why didn't He just go and say, everybody's now not guilty. I forgive everybody. Then every single sacrifice in the Old Testament would have been a joke. Would have been meaningless. Would have been empty. Because all those sacrifices were to point to something. And the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And that's why we read, as we do, in chapter 3, in verse 25, regarding Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And that is how He becomes the just and the justifier. Remember that beautiful word, propitiation, for which there's no other word that is completely synonymous. And it means atonement, appeasement, satisfaction, and reconciliation, all coming through the sacrifice of Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, it's an explicit statement with an implicit understanding. Because when it says being justified by faith, that's an explicit statement. But implicit in there is you understand what that faith is and what the object of that faith is. That faith being spoken of is firmly set on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And by that, as we've been reading in chapter 5 of Romans, verses 1, we have peace with God. Through that, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Without this understanding of what faith is involved here and what the definition of faith is, people could easily say that it's faith in Christ and my attempts at doing good, my works and His work equal peace with God. And the answer to that is no, 100 times no. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Why do I constantly repeat that? Maybe some of you are saying, man, I'm getting tired of hearing this. The reason I bring it up over and over again till the Lord takes me off of this place is this. 20 minutes after I say it, we all forget it. We all forget it. And the next moment we're thinking, well, what do I do now to make God happy? He's nothing. Jesus did it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember now. And we always seem to run headlong into that slough of despond of our own works. Get caught in that swamp of saying, now what must I do to be accepted with God? Jesus has done it. He said 3 words from the cross. It is finished. What does that mean? It means it's finished. It's as simple as that. It is finished. There's nothing to add to it, nothing that you can bring alongside it. It is finished. The work of redemption is 100% done, or else Jesus would have said, it's mostly finished. It's partly finished. Up to you now. No, He didn't say that. But the moralists have been around for a long time, and they say, yeah, belief in Christ is it, but remember, you got to do something too. We just somehow can't constantly keep in mind Jesus did it all. So we read in Romans 5 verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Boy, I wish you could read that in how the Greek brings that out, because it's in a perfect tense. But there's a couple other ingredients that go along with it. And so in this faith, in this grace in which we stand, the tense on the word stand is so magnified here in how it's portrayed and written by the Apostle Paul. It's not where we stood, but it's talking about something right now, something that was done in the past for us that has constant future implications. And in this grace in which we stand right now, we stand by His work, His righteousness. How do I have a right standing before God? Well, someone says, here's these 7 steps. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See what all He has done. We stand by His work, His righteousness. And this is how we will always stand. The moment you say, I can stand on my righteousness, you become like Peter on the stormy waters. When he steps out of the boat and says, oh Lord, if it's you, bid me come, come. And Peter steps out and he's standing on the water because he's looking at Christ. But then the moment he takes his eyes off Christ, he sees, ooh, the water is really rough. And the storm's really building up. What happens to Peter? He sinks. Why? Because he took his eyes off Christ. And the moment we take our eyes off the finished work of Christ and start looking at ourselves or circumstances or things around us, guess what? We sink. Because only faith in Christ keeps us buoyant. This grace in which we stand by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's how we can know also that the salvation is of God and not from the mind of man. Think about it. Every single system out there, Buddhism, Islam, Shintoism, Confucianism, just take all the world's religions and examine every single one of them. And you know what you find? They all have this common thread that links through it. Not that all religions are alike, but all man-made religions have this common thread running through them. It's all what you do. Because man likes that kind of thing. I like to hear, it is by my work that I'm approved by God. So even up to a couple of weeks ago, there was a country in Africa, there's a drought that they can't seem to get rid of. So what did they do? They sacrificed some of their children in order to appease God. That's what happens with man-made religions. How do I please God? What must I do to please God? Well, here comes God with his own plan and his own purpose, and it has nothing to do with what we do. And man says, I can't handle that. Somebody's done it all for me? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all done all through Jesus Christ. Friends, there's nothing you can do, nothing man can do, no place for him to point to, no pat for his back. In fact, the very thing, the only thing that you bring to salvation is the very thing you need to be forgiven of. Your sins. Where do my works fit in? See, the mind wants to know, to want to add to the equation. Believe in Christ and do this. But the answer is no. Believe in Christ, period. Period. As long as you feel you have to contribute, you are not exhibiting saving faith. In the old Augsburg Confession from 1531, it stated this: this whole doctrine of justification must be related to the conflict of an alarmed conscience. And without that conflict, it cannot be grasped. That is, the only way we will understand it, the only way we'll desire it, is when God brings us to the end of ourselves, when we see, I am a sinner, justly deserving the wrath of God. There's nothing I can do to appease it. When what can I do? And then the Spirit says, look unto Christ and be saved. It's the only time justification by faith makes sense to a human being. Otherwise, they keep saying, no, there's got to be something else. Got to be something else that I can do. And that something else is the thing that takes you away from simple faith and trust in Christ. He did it all. When we sing that song, Jesus paid it all, we don't say, well, for the most part, Jesus paid some of it. We say, Jesus paid it all. But so often our mind takes us to a totally different place. Jesus paid it all. All glory goes to him. All honor goes to him. And all trust in our future condition and safety of our soul goes to him as well. By faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's stand together for prayer.